God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
As we come to the end of the old year, some are rejoicing. Many consider 2020 the worst year they can remember. Was it really that bad? Thank you, dear friends. Blessings to you. May our Heavenly Father bless you and yours in a mighty way. Joe Biden and his advisors said they plan on taking down Trump's legal wall. This includes abolishing the Remain in Mexico policy, as well as cooperative asylum agreements with Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. These agreements have allowed federal immigration officials to quickly return border crossers to their native countries after failing to reach the criteria for receiving asylum in the United States. Customs and Border Protection Chief Mark Morgan said Biden is sending a message to the world's immigrants that, quote, "We have open borders." This could very well be the issue that leads many fence straddlers to say, enough is enough. They will witness firsthand the left's erasing the borders that others gave their lives to defend. The specter of liberalism hanging over America will give the conservative resurgence in America a big boost. What does the future hold for America? Everyone has a lot of different answers. Prognosticators are everywhere. Should we live in a state of uncertainty? One thing we need to remember is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We're back in the studio with our dear friend Bill Federer. My, what a great, great time we've been having. And when I think of Bill Federer, it kind of reminds me of like a college or a seminary. You know, you learn a lot of things in seminary when you're in the classroom. And hopefully, if it's a good seminary, you learn good things. But actually, when you go to the snack bar and you have a chat and just kind of, you think nothing great, but great things are happening. So, Bill, in having you here, not only are the programs great, but kind of the stuff we talked about in the lobby and around the coffee pot, it's just a great delight to have you with us in the building and certainly on the show.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Well, Bill, we hear a lot of information about fake news, and it's deceitful, it's based on lies, and I'm thinking Revelation 28, no liar will gain the kingdom of heaven. There'll be the lake of fire. And fake news and voter fraud, I think they're kissing cousins or something. How do they tie in, and how do they fit, and why are they so bad, and how are we seeing it today in the United States of America?
So a little history is valuable. Wells Fargo wagon and bringing products across the country in the Sears catalog. And so Sears would advertise their products, and they would list the advantages of this product. And then they noticed that if they made it look like everyone is using this product, people would want to buy it because it looked like it was the in thing. And then ladies' fashion magazines, they realized that if they made it look like this is the in clothes style that everybody's wearing, then they would go out and buy that clothes style. And then this ability to manipulate the public by making it look like this is the acceptable thing began to be filtered into other areas of selling products, but also politically. And then let's add in another thing. 1938, there's a radio drama, War of the Worlds. And H.G. Wells is a radio voice, and he is on the – he opened up, New Jersey's being invaded by Martians. We interrupt this program to say New Jersey. And the fear and panic spread across the country instantly. And everyone is looking up in the sky trying to see Martian spaceships. It was – a fictitious story. It was based on H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds. You know, even Tom Cruise did a movie on it not too long ago. But this fear and panic that swept the country, now they begin to realize, hey, we can use fear to get people to buy products, right? And then also health problems. Oh, you know, we want to protect against this health problem, and they would cause this fear to spread to motivate people to buy products. But then we see a switch politically, and it's World War II, and it's Joseph Goebbels. He was the propaganda minister for Hitler right? In Hitler's National Socialist Workers' Party. And Goebbels, he said this, "It is the absolute right of the state to supervise the formation of public opinion. Think of the press as a great keyboard on which the government can play." And then Goebbels says, "If you make a lie big enough and repeat it often enough, people will believe it." And so Goebbels orchestrated these big Colosseum events with 100,000 people, pageantry, and at the front they would begin to give the Hitler salute. And it would begin to work its way back in this big auditorium, and everybody would see everybody else giving the Hitler salute, and they would feel pressured to give the Hitler salute, and then the people would see them giving it, and then they would, and it added to itself in this turn of the snowball momentum of everybody following the group, but they realized it was just all set up. But once, and Islam does this. So they have the men praying together in a group, bowing and so forth. Imagine the backbone it would take to stand up and say, "I'm not bowing." Right? You'd have that group pressure. And so this was studied after World War II. It was called the Solomon Ash Conformity Experiment. It was done on classrooms in America where they would pull 8 students into a room. 7 had been paid ahead of time to be actors. And the 8th was a naive participant. And the teacher would put 2 cards on the front desk. One card simply had 1 line on it, and the other had 3 lines, one shorter, one longer, one the same. And one by one, the paid actors would stand up and convincingly say that the shorter line was actually equal to the line on the first card. And by the time it got around to that 8th naive participant, 30% of them would deny their own eyes to go along with the group. Right? I mean, they would doubt their perception. They would say, "Well, these people must know something I don't know." Whatever it was, but they would cave. And then there was another study done. Chuck Colson talked about it. It was a wine tasting, and everybody was in on it except one naive couple. And so they had poured vinegar into the wine. And this couple writes on the card, "This tastes terrible." But then they would start with all the other ones that were in on it, and they would stand up and say, "Well, this one has character. It's robust. It's just, you know." And by the time it got around to this naive couple, they scratched out what they had written, and they stood up and said, "Oh, well, it was good." And then somebody stood up and said, "You know, that all they did was pour vinegar in the wine." The couple that had changed their views criticized the person for saying that.
Right. So persuaded. He was so wrong and so persuaded that he was wrong.
Yeah. And so this is a phenomenon called false enforcement. Once people have bought into the lie, they will help enforce that other people comply to it. So even though there's no science to the masks, and there's Alex, forgot his name, but he's often on Tucker Carlson's Fox News, and he's a former, you know, reporter at one of those big newspapers. He's a medical person, and he's citing all these studies by all these scientists pre the COVID, you know, pandemic, and they're all saying that masks don't stop anything. You know, maybe just a little bit of spit, but he says you can blow a cigarette smoke through any of these masks and it comes out. And so the virus is so much smaller than that. It's like putting up a chain link fence wanting to stop mosquitoes, you know. So, but once people buy into it, they will pull out their phone and take a picture of you without your mask on. They become enforcers of this. Now, as we go on, this manipulating of public has been taken over by the internet. And so everyone wants to be liked. Little kids want to wear the same tennis shoes as everybody else. You know, they all want to fit in. And on the computer, everybody likes to be liked and no one wants to be unfriended. And so they've realized that now people are wanting to fit in with the group. There's a pressure that comes online. And so there's an election. And Google, the number one search engine in the world, has algorithms where you type in a candidate's name, it will pull up all the positive articles on one candidate and all the negative articles on another candidate. The person doing the search wants to see what everybody else is saying because they want to fit in with what everybody else is saying. And they can sway just a small percentage. They can sway the election in many cases. And so this has been studied. And so now we see that there's a relatively small number of major news sources, and they have people with finances that own them that have agendas. And it's changed from the honest reporting on a issue to this idea that became popular in the 1950s and 60s. It was use your position as a journalist to make the world better. So sounds nice, right? But what it means is you write the article with a slant that promotes your agenda of the way you think the world will become better. And the slanting of news, you know, there's lots of, one story is Spanish-American War. Frederick Remington is an artist, and he is sent down by William Hearst to Cuba, where they did have slavery and they did have a lot of injustices. But the saying is that Hearst told Remington, "You provide the pictures, I'll provide the war." And so he drew pictures of skinny people starving and so forth, and that got published. And so it got the term yellow press. And now there were actually people being treated bad in slavery in Cuba, but this phenomenon of the press swaying the public. And so that graduated to what's called Operation Mockingbird. And so during the Cold War, after World War II, the government wanted to influence the public opinion of America regarding different foreign policy things. It started, you know, underneath of Eisenhower, and he actually had a Department of Propaganda, and it was involved with the movie industry. And they did have movies that were patriotic and showed these young guys volunteering for the army and going out and becoming heroes. And in the lobby of the movie theater, they would have recruitment tables to sign people up for the military. And these young men would see the movies, sign up, right? Now, that was patriotic, but it was infiltrated in the 1960s. And they began to sway in the movie theater and so forth. But this idea of Operation Mockingbird. So during the Cold War, the CIA recruited journalists and news media outlets to disseminate information to influence public opinion. The Washington Post reporter Carl Bernstein, who helped uncover the Watergate scandal, Bernstein said in 1977, it's a Rolling Stones article, "The CIA and the Media." And he reveals that in the Cold War, 1953, CIA Director Alan Dulles influenced over 25 newspapers and wire agencies to carry manipulated stories, which were then repeated by unwitting reporters. So you may have seen a little short little Facebook video where it has a news announcer saying, "We have to, you know, censor the online information because it might put out fake news, which is damaging to our democracy." And then it goes to another local news station and they say the same thing, exact same words. And then another one, another one. And then it begins to zoom out and you see 25 of these news announcers all at the same time, and they're all repeating the exact, and then it goes to 50, and then it goes to 100, and the square of your screen is filled full of every one of them repeating the exact same words. They said, "We have to be careful because this is dangerous to our democracy." Well, what's dangerous to the democracy is you are presenting to us a prepackaged line that somebody wrote. And all these news media people, as pretty and handsome as they are, they're just mouthing what their boss says. You read what's on that teleprompter. And anyway, so this censorship, it's interesting that even President Trump acknowledged it. May 28th, 2020, he says, "The media have unchecked power to censor, restrict, edit, shape, hide, alter virtually any form of communication between private citizens or large public audiences. There's no precedent in American history for so small a number of corporations to control so large a sphere of interaction. The choices that Twitter makes when it chooses to suppress, edit, blacklist, shadow ban, and editorial decision pure and simple. So here's the president of the United States sending out Twitters, and you got this Twitter organization censoring the president, and you have Facebook censoring the president. This is an extreme form. Alexander Solzhenitsyn spent 11 years in gulag prison camps and defects to the United States in 1978. He says the press, the media, enjoys the widest freedom. If they have misled public opinion by inaccurate information or wrong conclusions, even if they have contributed to the mistakes on a state level, do we know of any case of an open regret voiced by the same journalists or the same newspapers?" And anyway, he goes on to explain this is a great threat to our democracy.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm very concerned about, because so many people in America today, they work hard, they get home, they have some supper, they turn on the TV. What do they get? CNN, NBC. They don't listen to alternative media like we are, okay? So, like my wife is really, she said, well, you know, I've been looking at CBS, there's no fraud. They keep on saying it. And I think that's probably the reason why so many people in America have not yet rioted, because they think that Biden's the next president. Even Fox News on Saturday, November the 7th, said he was the 46th president. That was just a few days after November 3rd. And people just pick this up and they think it's gospel truth. They don't see the other side. Then it's reinforced by the public schools. You know, it's even like, you know, when I pastor in Guthrie, we got about four women there who are really good Christians, but they taught in the public schools. They were doing a great job, but they didn't write the textbooks. Okay, they didn't teach in the state teachers' colleges. So all that they were doing was being overwhelmed by this massive information from the TV, from the radio, from the parents. So if you get to say, there's a conspiracy, what? You're a conspiracy nut. You're a theorist. And everybody, you know, we've been delegitimized by these people who don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's called a psychological operation, and it's been used since the Cold War. But all of this information is in the book Socialism, yeah. The Real History from Plato to the Present, and the subtitle is How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control.
Friends, this is a book you must have. However the election turns out, you want to know what's going on behind the scenes. It's really a great book. And Matthew McIlvany, our announcer, will come and tell you about our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. By the way, Bill Federer did all these programs without notes. What an amazing memory he has. Our special offer today is a great one. First of all, we have the new book by Bill Federer titled Socialism, The Real History. You can have a copy of this soon-to-be bestseller for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. We also have the book by Brian Osborne titled Quick Answers to Social Issues. You can have a copy of this extraordinary book for a gift of $15 in the United States and $35 for our Canadian friends. And we have the DVD titled Quick Answers to Tough Questions for a gift of $10 in the United States and $20 in Canada. This DVD covers such topics as creation, evolution, and the Bible. A great study guide. Our special offer today is to get all three items I just mentioned for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order anytime, day or night, on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
No matter what you think of election fraud, a Democratic administration will become the most pro-abortion administration America has ever seen. If you want an idea of what a Biden-Harris administration will do, not only does Harris support abortion on demand like Biden, but she literally voted for infanticide and against a law to protect babies who survive abortion.
On their first week in office, Biden and Harris will overturn a pro-life rule President Trump put in place and force Americans to fund the international Planned Parenthood abortion business and its global abortion agenda. That means your tax dollars will pay for promoting and performing abortions around the world. Though some claim to believe that Black Lives Matter, multitudes of black babies around the world will be killed.
According to LifeNews.com, Biden, Harris, and Nancy Pelosi are already working on legislation to force Americans to pay directly for abortions across America. Just as we are finally saving more babies from abortions than ever before, their abortion agenda could result in forcing you to pay for hundreds of thousands of abortions every single year.
They want to restore all the various funding cuts President Trump made to Planned Parenthood's taxpayer funding. They want to force churches and Catholic nuns to pay for abortions in their health care plans. They want to make abortion a worldwide human right, making the slaughter of babies legal in every country worldwide.
This is a matter of unprecedented evil. It's a demonic seed that has birthed a worldwide slaughter of the innocents. Proverbs 6 verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." Now notice the third, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Can a nation that makes shedding innocent blood its national policy survive? How long will God be silent in this horrific tragedy?
From townhall.com, December 5th, we learn that in Oregon, there is no room for free speech and dissent. An Oregon doctor has reportedly lost his medical license after attending a Stop the Steal rally and delivering comments about the coronavirus and face masks. In a video of Dr. Stephen LaTulipe's remarks at the November 7 rally, the physician described himself as a retired Air Force officer, an ordained minister, and a practicing physician in the Dalles, Oregon area. He said, "I want you to know that I never shut down during the entire COVID season, from the time it was declared till now. I hate to tell you this, it might scare you, but I and my staff, none of us, wore a mask in my clinic. And how many problems did we have in our clinic from that? Zero. Absolutely none." The doctor called the lockdowns a threat to the American people, freedom, and the Constitution, and petitioned those in the crowds to remove their mask of shame. While the physician acknowledged the virus was real, LaTulipe said it is a common cold virus that has been with us forever. Please don't be duped. You have an immune system. He also said that he treated 75 cases of the coronavirus, and every one of his patients got better in a week. "Don't let them put you in a state of fear," the doctor urged. "That is oppression." For his heresy, the Oregon Medical Board issued an emergency suspension of his license, finding the doctor engaged in unprofessional and dishonorable conduct, according to NBC News. The emergency suspension alleges LaTulipe told a patient in July that asymptomatic people should not be tested and that wearing a face mask does not prevent transmission of the virus. LaTulipe reportedly directed the patient not to self-isolate because, according to the doctor, exposing other people to the virus would help those people build immunities against the disease. The medical board deemed LaTulipe an immediate danger to the public health and safety. LaTulipe told NBC News, "I'm very interested in sound medical practice, and I'm interested in good science. And when science and medicine become perverted with corrupt policies, then I'm up for a fight, and that's what made me go to that rally and say what I said." LaTulipe can no longer practice medicine in the state of Oregon, where the physician has practiced for over 20 years.
The federal government canceled a scheduled $200 million allocation of funds to California for violating the Weldon Amendment, which protects individuals and groups from being forced to pay for abortions. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights also said it has referred the University of Vermont Medical Center to the Department of Justice for investigation for allegedly forcing a nurse to assist in an elective abortion against her conscience.
The HHS said California has been illegally mandating that all health care plans, subject to regulation by the California Department of Managed Health Care, cover abortion without exclusion or limitation. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar said that under President Trump, HHS has worked like never before to enforce laws Congress has passed to protect Americans' religious freedom and conscience rights. He also said, quote, "California and the University of Vermont Medical Center have violated federal conscience laws and refused to work with us to take corrective action. So we are now taking action to hold them to account," close quotes.
As could be expected, California Governor Gavin Newsom, who is now under threat of a recall, was unhappy. Quote, Nothing like the pro-life party eliminating health care during a global pandemic, close quotes. He tweeted that his state will survive without the money for now, but the, quote, frail, pathetic, patriarchal system that eliminated the funding won't, close quotes. So protecting human life and respecting human conscience scruples is pathetic in the estimation of a reprobate governor.
Have you ever blessed somebody and they just weren't, you know, thankful? Maybe that's the way God feels. So we at Southwest Radio Church want you to know that God is blessing us. So here, with our weekly praise report, is Mimi Davis.
This week has been a great week. Remember how we asked you to give for a new printing press? The cost of this printing press system new would have been well over $600,000. But God gave it to us for about $150,000. We at Southwest Radio Church praise God you responded. And I'm here to report that your gift towards this printing system has totally revolutionized our printing. We are now able to print our Prophetic Observer in hours instead of days. We are now able to print whole books in a matter of minutes. We have had so many requests for books like Dr. Hutchings' book on Revelation. Before this printer, we would have had to order thousands of copies to make it cost-effective. With our new on-demand printer, we now can print individual books as people request them. At one time, this seemed impossible for us at Southwest Radio Church. But because of your faithful giving, it is now possible. If you are not a regular supporter of Southwest Radio Church, would you pray about being a monthly supporter? As always, your gifts are tax-deductible. You can make your monthly gifts or one-time gifts online at swrc.com, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144, and our staff would love to hear from you today. I'm Mimi Davis, and this has been your weekly praise report.
Did you know Plato, the Greek philosopher, was the first one to suggest socialism? It's a really old idea. 300 years before Jesus, they were talking about it. Why hasn't it been the model for every country since? Find out when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. And you know you can order it on our website at swrc.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us tomorrow when we bring you a special New Year's Day program by Pastor Noah Hutchings on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.